It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
You're currently listening to the free version of Let Me Talk.
If you want longer, ad-free episodes, even earlier, head to lmtpod.com to find out how you subscribe.
Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk!
One, two!
Well, now that you've had time to calm down from Saturday evening, I want to start today's Let Me Talk with a question. Beware football cliches and Brian's gun, because this is an age-old question that has bugged football pundits for a long, long time. 1 point gained or 2 points dropped? There we go, I got it out of the way really early. Let's find out. I'm David Mooney. With me is the Athletic City correspondent, Sam Lee. Hello, Sam.
I can confirm that was one take. Fair play.
And the other side of things is Brian's gun has never done that sort of one gained or two dropped. I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if it's soundbitey enough.
It'll be in the post, I reckon. But secondly, no one gives a fuck about this enough to know what we're saying or not. So we can go through as many cliches as we want. And also one thing to pick you up on. I'm not sure many people will have calmed down.
Do you reckon not?
If they've made it to the stage of bargaining or acceptance or whatever, then of listening to this podcast, then it shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, well, we'll kind of hold your hand then through the stages of grief, shall we? Because it's certainly. I'm coming at this from a point gained position, so I'm actually quite chipper and all right about it. So I don't know how everybody else is feeling. Sam, we'll get into the actual details of the game shortly, but immediately there's I know the reaction has been, well, that's blown the title race wide open, hasn't it? And it's just kind of like I want to address just first off how ridiculous that is. Because I saw a couple of newspaper journalists with like columns off the back of that game that had said things like Chelsea had found a weakness in City and shown like a potential flaw. And like a fortnight ago, you were having a go at them for talking about how inevitable this treble was.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, I don't think there's much of an overlap in the people who are doing it. But like this blueprint idea, we were laughing about this earlier in the season, and actually, it was after the 4-4 against Chelsea. People were talking about a blueprint to play in City. It's just like there's very few original opinions in football media, to be honest. And then when you get to City losing, well, I don't know, City in general, apart from all the, oh, what's going on there, cheating stuff, it's this team were unstoppable. And then when they drop points, it's, oh my God, what's going on there? And there's no real normalcy in between, really. So I can't even be asked to go into it. Like, I've been asked for work to submit an audio clip of like, have City opened the title race again? I was like, well, it's only open if you ever thought it was closed, and why would you think it was closed? Like I've said before, fair play, like if people want to sit and say, you know, if I see a newspaper columnist or a TV reporter saying City are going to win 14 games in a row, like I think it's a bit daft, because you can never guarantee it. But to be fair, they always do it. So I can't really argue. But you just can't say the title race is over, especially when Arsenal beat Liverpool, by the way.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, what a strange time. It's not like Arsenal lost at Burnley and Liverpool lost at Sheffield United and then City battered Brentford. Then I could kind of be like, oh, well, this is heading one way. But if one title challenger beats another one and looks quite good doing it, probably better give them a chance. And look, I know City are the strongest team, and just because they dropped points yesterday, we're not. Like, we probably still think City will win the league, and so do the pundits who think it's over. But you just can't have it both ways, where everyone acts like it's sewn up. In any, you know, whether this was before City, I remember going back to the old days when United were in title races. It was exactly the same thing. United would win on a Saturday, everyone would say the title race is over. Chelsea would win on a Sunday, and they go, oh, the title race is alive. The other team wouldn't have even dropped points. It's just like, why are we so stupid? But anyway, it's not going to change.
There is an interesting dynamic this season that Guardiola City have never had before, in that it could well be a three-way race until a lot later in the season. And I'm interested to see how that goes as well, especially as when you actually look at City's head-to-head record with the teams around them. It's not great this season.
No, it isn't. But they're still up there anyway. But no, it isn't. But that, I mean, that is more of a factor than, again, it being a three-horse race. Guardiola was asked about it being a three-horse race on Friday, and whether that changes the approach or whether it makes any difference. But when you think about it, what are you expecting the answer to be?
Yeah,
you can win your own matches anyway.
Win your own games.
It's irrelevant. So then it is more relevant than, you know, the results against other top teams, because obviously Chelsea was the star. Obviously there's Bournemouth away, which nobody's expected to be that difficult until it actually rolls around, and now people will start going, oh God. But Chelsea was the start of that run against big name teams that basically lasts until the end of April, probably the Spurs away game. And look, it's already started, not brilliantly. So yeah, that is a factor. But I'm still expecting City to kick into gear, but to probably bring us into the first Chelsea game related topic. As long as players like Bernardo and Stones are available, and Rodri obviously, then it should be more like City. Going back to that game at Old Trafford, when I was like, there's loads of different ways to beat United, but if they wanted to do it in a City way, you needed Bernardo to do it. I feel like that was it yesterday. They could have beat Chelsea, but it wouldn't have been in the classic City control, dominate game. If they'd have beaten Chelsea in the end yesterday, from an hour onwards, if they'd have turned that around, if they'd have scored after Rodri scored the equaliser, it wouldn't have been, because they, in my opinion, Guardiola kind of talked slightly differently, so maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think it was because they solved the problems that Chelsea were causing them. They just would have overpowered them in a different way, and it would have been Haaland taking his chances. It wouldn't have been City doing it in a City way, and they could still win the title doing it in a non-City way. But to kind of sum up my closing arguments after 5 minutes, Haaland needs to score the goals. Because if they haven't got control and they haven't got Haaland scoring the goals, then it's not happening. But, and I'm not being doom and gloom, because the chances are one of those two at least will happen.
Yeah, well, let's look at the performance then, because I'm interested in this to start with, because people aren't going to like this, because I know everyone's unhappy with the way that they played, but I know Guardiola talked a lot about the performance in the first half, and that he felt like the second half display was better, and I'm not saying that I agree fully here, but I do know what he means, and here's what he said after the game about why the team didn't start particularly well.
This is not once, otherwise it's easy. I change it. It's a different one. It's just a vibe. Team is a team. Team means everyone is involved, you know? And the build-up is not good. The people in the middle there, well, perhaps press maybe is not good. We lost a lot of duels, like we lost in Stamford Bridge. In the second half, after goal, we won it. So there are many, many, many concepts that helps to have the tempo of the game, that against a team well-organized, and come on, the quality they have and all the departments and the players, so we know it. So it's a really good team, brilliant future, present future, and we knew it. We spoke about that yesterday in press conference with the team. So they make a little bit click. They play really good talent players. So we know it. So but sometimes the Rumens play a lot of games, travel to Copenhagen, so the rest and is less, and you know, and these kind of things, but we prepare. Sometimes we need, and after when we realize, it's happened. So we cannot, I cannot expect during all the games being and top. Yeah. We were able to draw, and at the end we could win for the chances and for the purpose, you know, the second half. We see, okay, I like this team. So we defend well, we play really good in the both sides, with a lot of crosses, chances in the 5 meters, so. And other things, that is what it is.
And earlier in the press conference, when he was asked for his overall assessment of the game, this is what he said.
We don't perform our level in the first half, and when you play teams that composer and prestigious like Chelsea, you have to perform 94, 95 minutes at your best. We start to play after concede a goal, like to make, oh, what happened here? And we were not in our best, and yeah, it can happen, the transitions, when you are near best, you can see transitions, and it's happened, but after we react like we are, and we create a lot, of course they had the one or two transitions for the quality, because had the ability to keep the ball and grab a good runners up front, and yeah, the result is that.
So obviously, first half performance not great, kept letting Chelsea in behind. Second half performance pinned them back a lot more. Did City deserve to win? Here's what he thinks.
The way we play, we deserve to win, yes or yes. First half was tied, they had the chances in transition. We had two or three clear two. But the second half, or the last 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes, first half, second half was really, really good, the way we played. And we did everything, and sometimes it happened, we were close, and always they have chances in transition, but I could not expect differently when I saw the game against Aston Villa or the game against, which was the last one I played against Crystal Palace. So it's Chelsea, you know, Chelsea Football Club. So I know they are so young, everything, okay, but they are a fantastic team. So it can happen. And for that team, you have to perform 94, 95 minutes. It was not complete. Saying that, that it's happened for a man of games, we play to win. So no doubt about that, the chances that we had, we deserve it.
So there's a definite disconnect there, Sam, between what he says and the perception of the performance. And I also wonder if there's a disconnect between what he says and how he actually thinks about the performance. Because there's only so much you can discount it being like he's fighting for his players in the press conference, but he'll tell him what he really thinks in the dressing room sort of thing. So the truth is probably somewhere in the middle of all of that. But is the perception the way it is purely because of the start that City made, the fact that Chelsea got in behind what three times and scored on the third one, and then actually when you look at the XG and you look at the total shots that City had, they did create a lot. They did create chances to score in the second half, especially. Or is it ultimately that they drew the game and that's why people think it was a bad performance?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to go too much for now into why people think a certain way. I'll just go with what I think, which is probably the best way to start. So I was kind of surprised when you suggested that people might disagree with Guardiola saying the first half was not good and the second half was better, because I thought that was objectively the case. At halftime,
I'm thinking more of the overall performance. I'm thinking people might disagree with the fact that he says after the second half he saw his team, he felt a lot better with the team, because by the second half people want changes. They want to see City doing normal City things, and it didn't feel like they were doing that. They were certainly playing better, but they weren't playing to the sort of style and level that we expect them. And I think that's what people might disagree with.
Okay, fine. But that is fine. I can't say I've got a particular handle on that for whatever reason. But I think that's just objectively true. But I would say it was more the last half hour. And I would say personally, it was more because Chelsea started sitting back. And obviously, I don't know, people might listen to this podcast for perspective or whatever, or maybe they're annoyed that, you know, I would say 99% of the time I'm either agreeing with Guardiola or just giving him the benefit of the doubt, and I'm not going to change, and I'd argue that I'm right not to change. But this isn't one of those cases. Like, I agree in the sense that they were better second half than the first. If people disagree with that, I'd disagree with them. But when Guardiola said we deserve to win, yes or yes, I immediately was like, no chance. Because Chelsea could have said exactly the same thing. And it wasn't just in the first half they had chances. Like, we spoke to Carl Walker, which, you know, there'll be stuff for that in the members bit at the end. And he said, they had a chance from Sterling in the first half with the Edison save. Other than that, I'm not sure. It's like, are you mad? Like, there was obviously the double Edison save, which may have been a Walker own goal for the first one if Edison hadn't saved it. But there was also... When Gallagher passed it, Gallagher dropped in deep basically Gallagher was taking up good positions between City's lines, and it was the forwards who were generally dropping deep. But in this case, he kind of took up a good position, flicked it out to Palmer. Gallagher ran in behind, Palmer volleyed it in behind. They got through Gallagher, and he played it in towards Jackson. I think Jackson would have been offside anyway, but it was a bit of a weird pass, and Jackson messed up the touch anyway, which is almost like what happened in the first half when Gusto messed up the pass and Jackson messed up the control. Like, there were too many of those happening, and they only really stopped, I thought. You know, I said earlier on, when if City had to turn that game around, it wouldn't have been because they kind of fixed it. In my opinion, it's because, or at least partly because, Chelsea then decided to sit back. They didn't really have that outlet left, and that's when I feel City started to make the chances. They didn't really... maybe they did solve the problem and that's what forced Chelsea to sit back. But basically, I thought Chelsea created enough first half and second half, even when City had improved in the second half, to believe that they thought they should have won the game. I feel like, you know, Guardiola said they had two or three clear chances. I mean, obviously, there's Haaland, which we'll look at. I thought the biggest and most obvious chance he missed was the one in the second half when De Bruyne crossed with his left foot from the left, the header. Obviously, there was one in the first half, which I don't think was as clear cut, but it was still a big chance. And obviously, if you start talking about putting those away, fair enough. But I think in terms of the quality of the chances Chelsea created, as consistently as they did over about an hour, as opposed to City creating them for about half an hour, and okay, some of those ones that Chelsea had would have been offside, or it was poor decision making, or it was bubbly. But we always talk about the beauty of City in a lot of games, or even when they're struggling, it's because there's chances to create chances. And it's the feel you get where, okay, City might not have had a shot on target, but they're doing the right things. Chelsea were doing the right things for about an hour, and City didn't really have an answer. And so where Guardiola says, we deserve to win, yes or yes, I don't know if that was him putting a brave face on it, or he, you know, just that's genuinely how he feels. But I just 100% disagreed on that, because I just thought Chelsea were good. City weren't good first half. And then, yeah, they improved. But like we say, it was just a kind of case of, okay, now you've got all these, this front five on the pitch who are excellent footballers. Obviously, they changed with Bernardo and there were tactical changes too. But in the first half, it just seemed like, well, that's how it's going to have to be. And I used the quote on Twitter. I used it in a live article, which was published on Full Time. I think I did use it in the longer article as well. But that thing about Guardiola saying Haaland and De Bruyne, they don't make us play good, but they win matches. And look, it's not just about pals there. It's not just about build-up. It's about off the ball. It's about, you know, Diaz defending on the halfway line. If they're going to break, you've got to get in their back, stop them doing it. It's all those different things. Edison playing out, it's everything. But if it does nothing else, it shines a light on Haaland and De Bruyne, and you'd have to say Doku as well. And it's not like lumping him in, because I'm lumping him in with great players. But it's lumping him in with players who they give stuff, and they don't, like, De Bruyne doesn't take away too much, but the others can do. But with that kind of performance, when you haven't got the control of the match, you haven't got the usual powers, you haven't got that City style, and it's just about individual brilliance, which they've got in abundance, you've got to make it pay. Haaland obviously didn't. We'll probably end up saying the same things he did last week against Everton. Against Everton last week, that is exactly what he should do. And it's hard to expect somebody to score 50 goals a season every season, but if you don't do anywhere near as much as your teammates, and they've got to adapt completely, which to be fair, they have managed, although maybe Akanji having to go into the middle, it's because they need that extra man in there, whereas if Haaland wasn't playing...
We'll come to that.
You wouldn't need it. Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't need it. So if you're not taken away from the team, but you're not... And it's not like he does nothing else. Guardiola actually mentioned that, and one of the things he mentioned was the pressing, which fine. And the other thing he mentioned was like good body language and always G'ing his teammates up. It's like, we're onto fucking body language already after two things, scoring and pressing. Like the other thing's aura. Like, and that's fine, because when you're scoring 50 goals, it's fine. And also, that is a sizable thing. But when everyone else does so much more and they're making allowances for you, you've got to hold up your end of the bargain, mate. And Doku was similar to last week, but again, against Everton, I was speaking to somebody afterwards and he was highlighting how he'd seen Sean Dyche's like coach's voice masterclass thing. And he says like he doesn't want to defend the wide area so much. You can have the wide areas, they'll pack the box. And that was part of the issue for Doku last week. If they've got nine men in the box, then it's going to be hard. Once you've done your job, your main thing you do, get to the byline, if you've got to then try and find an option, it's difficult. It's a fair play. And there was a bit of that against Chelsea, because he was getting to the line. But it was that kind of thing we've seen since the Brighton game, since the Bournemouth game. I just need a bit more of it. But then, to be fair, it's the Gordon Ramsay meme again. De Bruyne's crossing wasn't up to much. There was that one, and the unfortunate thing for City was Haaland missed the header.
Mm.
But when City got in those positions a lot, and I was actually thinking at the start of the game, De Bruyne has obviously been great since he come back, and this isn't building up to a criticism whatsoever. He's obviously got lots of assists, but I don't remember him getting the type of assist from his right-hand side position crossing to the back post for Haaland. It's not a criticism at all. But then it just came to me for whatever reason during the game yesterday, early on. And then obviously towards the end, he was going into that position a lot and trying it, but the crosses just weren't very good. So then you've got your players there, the three most capable of individual brilliance, you'd probably say. Unfortunately, on the day, they didn't do it. Again, I wouldn't be too downbeat about it, because chances of at least two of the three not doing it again consistently is pretty small. So it's probably going to be all right, even if we keep looking at Akanji Alvarez situations.
Coming up after a short ad break, there'll be more chat about that 1-1 draw with Chelsea. See you shortly.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let Me Talk is sponsored by you, the listeners.
The best way to support the podcast is by subscribing via Memberful.
You can pay as little as £2 per month, which gives you early access to all our podcasts ad-free, and they're packed with even more content.
That gives you even more minutes of us to fill up your week.
Subscribing is really easy, and the longer episodes will integrate seamlessly with your podcast app of choice, be it Spotify or Apple. Head over to lmtpod.com for more information on signing up and links to all of our socials. That said, though, none of that particularly matters. You know, if De Bruyne doesn't hit it off, or, you know, Doku doesn't get the ball across, or Haaland doesn't make the header, if the performance is a lot more controlled than it was.
Well, yeah, exactly, because it becomes less about individual brilliance. Maybe this is broad strokes, but if you think about the false nine era, okay, like when we had that conversation with Nadum at the end of the Pep's best signing thing, some of which has aged well, some of which maybe not, but we talked about Haaland's impact, and he asked about the ceiling if Haaland didn't play for the rest of the season. Me and you weren't entirely convinced, and then I thought that might age badly by the time it's gone out. And also, it's a pretty mad thing to say. Like, I think Haaland does give you, he obviously does give you an extra option, particularly when he's actually scoring. But the other thing is, when it comes to the false nine team, and this is the broad strokes I'm thinking of, they weren't really like individual brilliance players to that extent, like Haaland or Doku. But they would control the game so much, they would create so many chances that somebody's going to score one of them anyway. But then where that kind of bleeds over into my point that we probably should have acknowledged when we were talking about City's ceiling for the rest of the season with Haaland or without, in the false nine days, they did have Gundogan, they did have Mahrez, and you might laugh, but they did have Sterling and they did have Jesus. So when Sterling and Jesus left that summer, the season before they'd scored like 35 goals between them or something, which, look, I'm not saying, I am really not being reactionary and saying they shouldn't have got rid of those guys. 100% not saying that, and never would. But there's fewer goals to share around. Like last season, Haaland obviously got a lot. I agree with you what you're saying. If the team is in more control, there's no counter-attacks, they're creating chances, not just from minute, let's say, 65 to 90, but throughout. It's that drip, drip, drip. Someone's, you know, that pressure's probably going to tell. I feel like that obviously puts you in a better position to win matches. Maybe I'm wrong, because you could just argue that, you could just argue that if Haaland had had his, let's say, shooting boots on, that's a Bruyne's gun. His heading head on Saturday, then they'd have won regardless. So maybe it balances each other out. But yeah, I agree in a very roundabout way of making the point. Yeah, if you've got that control and that power, you're not relying on the individual brilliance so much. But that's what I'm saying. Because they couldn't control the game in and they couldn't stop Chelsea's counter-attacks when they were counter-attacks. Sometimes they just played through them out from the back by somebody dropping off the front line into a good position, like behind Rodri in front of the defence, popping out wide, running in behind, balling behind, job done. Because they were doing that as well, they couldn't, City couldn't really stop it. It basically just becomes a bit of a shootout. And it's like, well, you're going to have chances, we're going to have chances. Fortunately, we got De Bruyne, we got Haaland, we got, to a lesser extent, Doku, because obviously his goal threat's not there yet compared to the other two. Obviously, you can include Foden in that as well. You can involve Alvarez in that as well. But when they don't score, when they're not doing it, and also because those five are together from the start, it's all a bit less fluid. And this was the thing I put in my article. And also, when I was watching the highlights earlier on Sunday, I searched for extended highlights. And I was particularly looking for the stuff Chelsea were doing. And I saw the result for the Chelsea official highlights, which was like 14 minutes. And I was like, well, this is going to have more Chelsea stuff in it, which is kind of what I'm looking for. And it's long and it's the first one I saw, so go for it. And apart from them mentioning City being the most expensively assembled squad when they were walking out. So firstly, it's not really true, but I'm not going to pick you up on that too much. What I will pick you up on is you are Chelsea, you morons. Do not be talking about the price of squads. But they were talking, and again, like, I get this, and I'll put this in the introduction in my article. You couldn't look at that City team and say they were lacking quality. Like, ahead of, so you've got four of the defenders without Stones, fine. But four of the defenders that were huge for City winning the treble last year at different periods. Ahead of Rodri, you've got Foden's amazing. Alvarez, you can make, you know, the other week the point was being made to talk about selective columnists. The point was being made that he's a World Cup winner and he's this and he's that and the other. So he's great. He's got loads of, look at his numbers this season. He's got X goals, he's got X assists. You got Haaland, no introduction needed. You got De Bruyne, no introduction needed. You got Doku, who, let's say, everyone thinks is good. There's no shortage of quality there.
Yeah,
but they're not lacking that craft. And if you're not lacking the craft, you don't get the same City performance. And it's tempting to say it becomes more end-to-end and it becomes more about individual brilliance. And again, just to go back to the point, if your individuals who are capable of that brilliance aren't producing the brilliance, you've got not necessarily a problem. Because like I say, I don't think it's going to happen again and again and again. But it was a problem on Saturday.
Yeah, you don't have a recipe for disaster. You have a recipe for a problem, and sometimes you get the problem.
Well, when I saw the team, I was like, well, this could be 4-all again.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's kind of game.
That's what I was going to say, is that like when the lineup came out and kind of like the way that City approached the game, you quite often hear that thing of, and this is Brian's gun all over again, but like on another day, like that team performs differently. Yeah. And I'm not sure it does. You know what I mean? I'm not sure. Like, I'm sure if you play that game out another 100 times with that City team, they still can't control it in the way that they want to control it, and they still end up having the same problems as they want.
Yeah, Haaland would have got a hat-trick and nobody would be talking about it.
And nobody talks about it. Yeah, and I want to bring this in from John McKenzie on Twitter, who I saw tweet this after the game yesterday. He said, people will point at the chance creation here to say City have got a bit unlucky, but there seems to be a pattern in these games now. This season, it feels like teams find it much easier to score against City than City do to score against them. Questions about the role of play style here. Yes, Chelsea barely created any chances, but when they did, it looked inevitable that they'd score. See also the last game against Chelsea, the Spurs game, etc., etc. And you think back to everything that happened in the autumn and winter. And again, that all just comes back round to lacking control and not being able to keep a handle on the game. And all it did was remind me of the number of times I tweeted this, I think just after, it's either just after Sterling scored or at half time. It's like, it's probably not a good idea to keep letting them run clean through like this. And like, City defending with a high line is not new. Like, the way City were playing was not new, and yet Chelsea kept finding that space and they kept finding that ball in behind. I mean, you referenced two chances in the first half that they didn't score. They had the double save from Edison in the second half that they didn't score, all of which came from finding all that space in the back line. And I don't understand how all of a sudden this season teams are finding it a lot easier to find that pass. And you know, if Jackson could finish, like if Haaland could finish, City might have won. If Jackson could finish, Chelsea might have won.
Yeah, that's fair. I think we could probably tie that to probably what everyone's, the burning issue from the game, really. And I was a bit concerned about it being confirmation bias, because it seemed, you know, it was what I was thinking before the game. It was the kind of thing, well, it was, Christ, it was what we talked about after Everton last week. So, you know, it was a It was a topic that was on the agenda.
Yeah.
So to speak. But so we were just talking then about, you know, you could play that same City team 100 times and would it be any different? You know, maybe the results would be different, but the style of the play of the game would probably be similar. So the question is, does it have to be that 11?
Yeah.
Well, and this is what everyone is talking about.
Yeah, we've had quite a bit of correspondence on this, so let me run through a few. Mr. Gucci on Twitter has said, for a long time, City fans have wanted Foden in the middle, but Pep hasn't put him there and cited reasons such as a lack of pauser, lack of defensive awareness. Then Foden starts getting played there, and he's done so well, but he's been moved out wide to accommodate Alvarez. Then we have Alvarez, who even the uneducated in the game can see is struggling in the middle. It seems obvious to me that Foden plays in the middle over Alvarez. Miles got in touch to say, why do you think Pep persists with shoehorning Alvarez into the team? The immediate argument is for his sense of goal, but in our defensive 4-4-2 shape against Chelsea, he was the player dropping beside Rodri in the middle. Seems a bit backwards having someone who their main trait is goal scoring playing deeper than the likes of De Bruyne or Foden. And then Jack got in touch to say, clearly Alvarez and Akanji being involved within the box midfield together just doesn't work. It forces Foden to play wide and Rodri to the left-hand side, killing so much of the dynamism and quick play centrally. The pace of the game is lost and City lull themselves into a false sense of security and not their opponents. I mean, we'll come to Akanji shortly, Sam. Alvarez is the name on everybody's lips.
Let's do it again.
Here's what Guardiola said about why he's picked Alvarez for every Premier League game this season.
Well, he's a guy with a sense of goal, the movement between lines, and have another guy when the team's like defend so deep. It happens quite often. Have a guy a sense of goal is important. And I think he played because he deserved it. And in the absence of Erling Haaland was a key point with Phil. So we are really good in that terms.
So what do you reckon, Sam?
Well, that's true. When Haaland was out, it was very important. Haaland wasn't missed. And I would say part of that is because Alvarez was prepared to be and can be, and not say his best false nine, not the best striker who can drop off the front and link up, but he was having way more touches than Haaland does. He was more involved in the game, and that lessens the need for the man in the middle, whether it's Stones or whether it's Akanji, or other ways City have done it, like recently with Guardiola going up the left, Walker up the right, everyone going down the middle. It just helps. So that's fine, but the thing is, it's like when the questions are coming in, and look, I'm not defending Alvarez because you'll know listening to this at the start of the season when he was banging the goals in and getting assists, I was saying, well, that's all well and good, mate, but you've got Haaland for that. You need to do a bit more. So, and I've been upfront about, you know, and well, I say upfront, I've been certainly joking about his desire might be a bit strong, but certainly openness to leave, you know, that I've got no skin in the game with Alvarez. But when I hear stuff like shoehorning him in, if Bernardo was fit, Stones was fit, to be fair, Stones less so because he had this paid instead of one of the defenders, but if Bernardo was fit and he played on the right and Foden was on the bench and Alvarez was in the middle, I would rather, well, that's shoehorning. That seems unusual. Unless there's like a fitness thing with Foden, or he needs a rest, or he's got a knock, whatever. But like, that seems unusual. If you think back to Tuesday night, and again, maybe Guardiola was thinking, well, I'm going to take Alvarez out of this game because I really need him for Saturday, which again would be weird. But if you think back to Tuesday night in Copenhagen with that team, which everyone loved from the start and still does now, that's not, you know, Alvarez wasn't shoehorned into that. Again, maybe he was given a rest, but the main point and the way I should address this, and to be fair, again, I feel bad on this podcast because there's certain players we can only really say the same thing, but it does become useful for situations like this when it's like, this is the main topic that people are talking about. It's like, well, I do at least feel good that we've been talking about this for ages, regardless of the result. And last week, again, a lot of people were talking about it then, but the Everton game, I was like, well, who do you play? I don't think he is being shoehorned into these games against Everton and against Chelsea, because Kovacic is just back from injury, so he wasn't on the bench last week, was he, against Everton? He was back against Chelsea. Again, if he's fully fit, you'd maybe say he could have done something in another setup. I don't know. I haven't got it clear. Bernardo obviously wasn't fit enough to start. Bernardo's fit enough to start, he's starting that game. And then we can talk about whether it would have been Alvarez or Foden to come out afterwards. I would have hoped it would have been Alvarez. And I think it would have been.
I just wonder
because
if...
I think that would be Foden on the right, Bernardo in the middle, like it was the other night.
But I just wonder.
I don't
if
think
get...
Alvarez. Basically, I'm just waffling. But I don't think Alvarez is being shoehorned into the team. I think City have got very few options because of the injuries. I'm going to say that. You know, last week, obviously, when he didn't play Walker, he didn't play Bernardo, didn't play De Bruyne, he was resting them for the games coming up. I don't know, but I'm going with that. And maybe I'm wrong, but I'm going with that. So therefore, with those being rested, Alvarez is in. Because it's like, well, who else? And then this weekend, Kovacic is out anyway, or just coming back. Bernardo can't start. And then you're looking at it and you go in. Look, after last weekend, if it had started Nunes against Chelsea, I'd have gone, well, that's mad. Because he was crap last weekend.
What if he starts Oscar Bob wide and Foden in the middle?
That is the one. Somebody DM'd me last week saying, I'm listening to the podcast screaming, Oscar Bob wide, Foden in the middle. Okay. I don't know if it's like a youth player tax. I don't know if it's a size tax, physicality tax. Because we've seen he loves he loves Oscar Bob, but he loves Rico, but he doesn't play Rico all the time. And I think there's a chance. I mean, Bob, when he was younger, he was small, right? And now he's stocky, he's strong. But I still feel, and maybe this is my thoughts, and it's not accurate, but I still feel like there's a risk, or Guardiola feels like there's a risk when it comes to Lewis and Bob. You're going to get run over.
Yeah, but if you can...
You need to be more physical. And Foden is physical. Foden's strong.
If he can come off the bench to win a game at St James's Park in the way he did.
But it's different. Yeah, but you come on. Yeah, but this is it. People
he
are...
Turned, he turned to him on the bench.
But then where does that logic hold up? Like, I've seen people saying, oh, well, you know, Chelsea, they're getting beat by Wolves, or they're doing this, they're doing that. Yeah, Chelsea are weak. Chelsea got loads of problems. But if they played teams like City every week, they'd be challenging for Europe. But they've got problems against deep-lying teams. City don't lie deep. So it's irrelevant. And it's almost like Bob coming off the bench, doing well for 20 minutes in a game when Newcastle are sitting back. Does that guarantee he's going to play 90 minutes against a team that aren't sitting back, that are a bit more physical?
Okay. I don't really see...
I mean, look, there's an element of if you don't try it, you'll never know. But I'm not saying... But I'm definitely not seeing like the logic stacking up. Is it something? I'm not going to say it's impossible. I'm not going to say it would be the stupidest thing in the world to play Bob on the right and Foden in the middle. And look, but also like Guardiola's logic there, because he was asked the question by Dom Farrell, another journalist. Good lad. He's one of those. Basically, he was asking the question that. I don't know if people would have wanted me to ask, or I should have asked, or whatever. But when Guardiola kept saying they didn't play well in the first half, I was like, well, I'm going to go with that. Because I feel like, and this is not me suggesting to the other two who did ask the questions that they were wrong. I feel personally, if I'm personally asking about Akanji, like Fred did, Fred's the Brazilian lad, he's fucking great. And Dom asked about Alvarez, and he pitched it fantastically. He was like, It was all positive. Like, Alvarez has been so good, blah, blah, blah. Why are you picking him? Guardiola might have spotted, because he spots danger when there is none. But it was a very well-pitched question. When Fred asked, he was like, without Akanji, is it kind of, you know, do you miss a bit? And he was like, he can do it. And he just shut it down completely. I feel like me personally asking those questions, after City have dropped points, I'm getting nothing out of it. So I might as well try and go after something else that Guardiola's offered himself, which may be useful. So I asked, why did they start? Poorly, since you mentioned it so often, kind of thing. But when he mentioned about Alvarez and logic stacking up, and he was like, oh yeah, he's so good between the lines, an extra man when they sit deep. So, well, Chelsea aren't going to sit deep, are they? So, and then when you're asking him, you know, when, again, to go back to the first question about Foden and De Bruyne playing together, and when we asked Guardiola about that, and he was saying, you know, it was more off the ball because we like to have 4-4-2, one of the number eights drops in next to Rodri, and they can't do it in the same way. Well, Alvarez was doing that yesterday. And I think we saw some of the problems with it, because if he wasn't just getting done, all ends up, like, in one example, Cole Palmer, I think. So I think that was before, you know, the Edison double save?
Yeah, it was. I watched it back.
They took
before.
A quick free kick, but like Gallagher just stood in the middle of the pitch nobody spotted any kind of danger, Alvarez included. And then they switched it out to the left and it came back. And then Palmer skinned Alvarez. But like, you've got something Guardiola acknowledged wouldn't be ideal happening, albeit with Alvarez instead of Foden. And that was part of the issue yesterday because, you know, he's just not wired that way. And fair enough, he's a striker. So then the question loops back around. Why is he being shoehorned into the team? I don't think he's being shoehorned into the team. I feel like there's just not the other options there, really. And I said it after Everton last week. And again, you might say, play Oscar Bob on the right, Foden in the middle. I could see Guardiola having equal issues with that. Ultimately, you're still getting Foden in the middle. Off the ball, you might have the same issues anyway. I would say on the ball, you're definitely getting the progressions a bit better. But again, does it have to be that way at all? Does it have to be Akanji going into the middle instead of Stones? The solution at the start of the season, a lot of the time, was Walker going up the right wing. So could it have been that? That's what he changed to against Everton. Could it have been that? If Guardiola had been fit, would they have gone with Guardiola and Walker going up the wing? And Akanji doesn't have to go into the middle then? Would that have been a thing? But then without Guardiola, could you just have done it with Walker? And again, this is probably one of those, well, it is one of those times where I'm thinking if Guardiola were here now, he would say, yeah, but this, and this. And it might have involved, well, Walker being high up the pitch. You've got Akanji going over to right back. By the time he gets over there, Sterling's already going past him and you've got an issue. So it's best to keep Walker back. Maybe it's that. But basically, when it comes to like shoehorning Alvarez in, why does he keep playing? Where else is it going to be? And the other point, obviously, is it's why is Foden missing out? Like, look, it's unfortunate for Foden. Foden's problem, City's problem in this case, is he is better. He is more versatile than Alvarez, so he can play on the right wing. We saw against Copenhagen the other night. He's not bad at it. And we've seen it loads of times before, but we've seen it recently. He's not bad at it. Alvarez doesn't play there, can't play there. It's not the same. We talked about that last week. So it's this complex puzzle where Bernardo Silva's injured, Gundogan's gone, Grealish is injured, so you haven't got the control, you haven't got the slowing the game down there. And to be fair, who knows if he'd have stayed fit on Tuesday night, if he'd have carried on having a good game, if he'd have played really well yesterday. But without these types of players, without Mahrez taking the extra touch, without even Kovacic being fit enough to be able to give you the option to do it, not just yesterday, but maybe if he'd been fit enough for the last couple of weeks, he'd have played more. And you'd have gone into the game thinking, well, I can rely on this guy instead. And you still got Foden on the right, but maybe you've got Kovacic in the middle. You've got all these things. But I don't feel like there's an obvious reason beyond the fact that he's not very good in there. He's not terrible in there, Alvarez, but there's just a noticeable drop of what you really need. It's not a no-brainer to leave him out. I don't think there's any one massive solution that's so obvious that it needs to happen.
That is it for the free version of Let Me Talk. There is a lot more for members, though, for this one. If you want that, you can go over to lmtpod.com and sign up. Those shows are longer, they're ad-free. Sam, what are members getting for this one?
Yeah, loads, as you say. Good news on the Grealish front, Rodri being good. The referee decisions, which probably a lot of people might have opened with, but not for us. And an audience with Kyle Walker.
That's all for members. Those ad-free episodes are longer and they're out earlier. You can find out more on lmtpod.com.
If you want to send us an email, it's hello@lmtpod.com. We're also on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok, so just search for LMTpod on there.
Thank you very much for listening. We will see you next time.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, Code Program.